What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Rock Hippie Adventures podcast. My name is Keith.
I'm Mel.
And you should know that by now.
I would hope so.
If you're new, you don't know that, and we thank you for listening to your first episode.
Welcome.
Of our show. And we're going to start today by a text that I got earlier today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What was it?
Quite an interesting text. So, T-Mobile, I don't know if all carriers do this, but T-Mobile did text me today.
Verizon did not.
Verizon, you suck.
Right?
T-Mobile, we love you because we think you care. We think you care.
Yeah.
So, the FCC, from what I'm understanding, has adopted a three-digit number to be used nationwide to reach the National Suicide Prevention and Mental Health Crisis Lifeline. It will be effective 4/24/21, maybe the reason why most people haven't gotten
it
yet.
Oh, yeah, a month from now. So, yeah, yeah, a month.
A month from now. So, the new three-digit number is 988. So, if you're in a mental health or suicide emergency, you can dial 988. Now, again, I'm not sure the logistics of this. I just got the text today, but I thought it was really cool, and I was telling Mel that I thought it was kind of cool that this is...
It should have been done a long time ago, but it's appreciated that it's been... At least it's out there now. It'd have been nice to probably have that, like, I don't know, a year ago when COVID started, because I'm sure there's been a lot of mental health and other things that people have had to deal with even more so now or then. Yeah. Maybe not so much now. Well, I mean, it's still an issue, but I'm just saying, like, it was heightened, it seems like, maybe during COVID more. But regardless, at least it's finally something that's nationally being provided.
I'll probably do some more research on this. Like I said, it just came out today. I haven't seen this stuff before. Mel might have just gotten a text about that.
No, Verizon ain't telling me shit. They don't give a fuck. They just care about their bill. That's really cool, though.
Yeah, so...
988, is that what you said?
Yeah, 988.
That's super cool.
And there's some other things that are happening, too, so I'm not sure, but we'll see.
Yeah, interesting. We'll have to come back to it in a month and see.
We'll check it out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, get some more information on it.
I think there's some other things going on, too. Let's see. In order to support the nationwide deployment of 988, 10-digit local dialing must first be implemented. If your area code is included in the list above, you will need to change the way you dial local calls. Also, for what they're saying is in order for this to take effect, instead of dialing just a 7-digit local dialing, you have to do like we already do. Like
we have to dial, and then the area code and then
just
the number.
Area code.
Area code, the number.
Yeah.
So, I got you. Oh, yeah, like, I'm not at school. I don't have to dial one to get an outside line.
We have to dial 9 at our work. But you have to dial the area code, then the rest, which that's only 9 digits, but it's still the 10-digit format, which you would assume.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there's some things that have to happen for that to be
legitimate. Oh, so you can just dial 988. Yeah. I got you. Yeah. Okay, so. Cool.
All right. Well, anyways.
It's a process, but at least it's something.
Yeah, because, you know, we're big supporters of mental health awareness and suicide prevention here on Rock Hippie Adventures, mainly because my life is a complete shit show in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mental health is here. I started a new
Everybody has mental health stuff, though.
I think I got one of my first appointments.
Do you?
Coming up soon.
Good.
We shouldn't be talking about that on the show, but yeah. Gonna
All try
right. something
well,
new.
You can talk about stuff on the show. I mean, not like that, but I'm saying that
we're gonna try something new. We're gonna say that. We're gonna see how
therapy's therapy. You need it, you go to it.
This newfangled therapy is gonna work out for my
newfangled therapy. I'm interested to see though. Yeah, I mean, it's worth a shot. So,
anyways, welcome back. We are doing our next not a series.
Our cinematic conversations.
Yeah, thanks for that alliteration.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
I'm good at that. It's my teacher brain.
I see that. But, yeah, we're going to be diving into the classic cult. I won't call it a cult movie, but.
Dark.
Well, it's definitely a dark movie. It's definitely a dark, dark movie. We'll be talking about.
They call it, is this a dark comedy genre? Like, when they talk about dark comedies, is this one of those or not really? So I always wonder what they mean by that.
Dark comedy to me is like,
See, I think this would be that because there are funny shits in it.
Yeah, but I don't think this is. Is this not is considered more of a that drama? This
a
is,
drama?
Yeah. This is more of a drama when we're talking about it's a darker drama, but it is a drama. I mean, yeah, because even dramas have funny moments in them, you know?
Yeah, I just always wondered if that's what this would be considered.
No, this would not be considered okay. that at all. I don't even think it's like borderline.
I didn't know.
Like,
my knowledge of movies is, I don't know, like four pages long.
Dark comedies, I mean, at the lightheartedest of it would be like The Addams Family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's kind of gothy and stuff like
that. Oh, I always
thought
dark comedies were like comedies that were like wrong, like about darker things. Like this to me would be like they're laughing at death.
Well, they're not laughing at death.
I mean, he kind of does at the beginning.
Well, no, it's more
of not laughing about it. He's just being matter of fact about it.
It's more of like...
We'll have to research that.
Yeah, no, it's not.
We're good at throwing shit out there and not knowing answers.
But it's not a dark comedy. Dark comedy is more like Heathers.
Yeah, but see, I think that's this kind of twisty.
Fargo.
Yeah, this to me is like kind of like in that genre, though.
No, this has more. It's not a comedy, though. It's not like it's pulling all the laughs.
No, there's not many laughs in it. We'll give you that.
Because like Fargo is like to me is like a comedy, a dark comedy because. It's not really dramatic. It's not carrying anything. Throw Mama from the Train.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah. I mean, and Addams Family values because of the way Wednesday is and, you know, things like that. Some other, yeah, I mean, like, of course, like I'm saying, Heathers. Idle
they
Hands.
They do call it a black, they call it an American black comedy drama. So
really?
It is. Yeah.
I don't get it, but okay.
That's if it's a horror movie. Yeah, it's a dark comedy.
I would go more Idle Hands as a dark comedy. You like that movie.
Yeah. No.
No. Anyways, we're going to be talking about American Beauty tonight, starring everybody's most favorite actor, Kevin Spacey.
He's so creepily weird in this.
And I'm very sarcastic when I say that, all the trouble he got into.
Yeah, well.
But...
This whole movie was ridden with controversy.
Yeah, it has Mina Savari in it.
Yeah,
because
Homegirl was 16 when she showed her wares.
Yeah, so it was kind of...
It's a risque movie.
Yeah. Anyways.
I made a risque movie. Yeah.
I love that John Cho shows up in this just for like a split second as like a... Almost like an extra because he's in the house.
Yeah.
You know who John Cho is, right?
Wasn't he like some guy that you like a lot? Oh, yeah, him.
John Cho.
Yeah, yeah.
Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
He's in a bunch of stuff. He's Star Trek and...
Yeah.
I think he's in a few other movies that...
He was in something we just watched not too long ago.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
He shows up in stuff.
It's an interesting movie. But we forgot the most important thing ever, though, really, to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we're going on vacation this week.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, we are.
We are.
We are, but that's not the most important thing of the week.
If I don't give you shit, it wouldn't be fun.
This is my birthday tomorrow.
Yes, your birthday is tomorrow.
Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah, so everybody wish. I should have been birthday. Celebrating all week because it's a birthday week.
We don't do that.
You don't, but I do. I might celebrate all damn month.
Really?
You never know. A lot of my friends have birthdays coming up, too, and so we kind of just keep the party going.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, it's not.
I guess it's how we all see it. For me, it's just, I'm here.
It's my day. It's the only day I have.
You have every day.
I have every day, but not every day is celebrated.
Yeah, it is.
Of just me.
I smack you on the ass every day.
Oh, my gosh.
That's celebration.
Then I better get double smacks tomorrow.
Oh, don't worry. You're going to get a bunch of them.
Not my age. That's too many.
Yeah. You want to celebrate your birthday all day?
No.
I do too.
No. No.
You won't even be able to sit tomorrow night.
No, babe. That's not funny.
Anyway,
that's too many.
Yep. Tomorrow's a birthday. Wish her happy birthday. If you're listening to this, I'm sure we'll see it on the Instagram.
No, I don't put my own birthday out there. You'd have to do that.
Again, I'm sure we'll see it on the Instagram tomorrow. Anyways, we'll be back in a minute to discuss this movie with our couples study.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll be back in
looking
a minute.
Looking at the relationships.
we're back, guys and girls. Thanks for sticking around. And tonight we are discussing the movie American Beauty. First off, we're just going to get Mel's take because this is a movie I've seen a few times. It's Mel's first time seeing it. If you follow us on Instagram, you can probably get the vibe of how she felt about it. So let's give her a minute to discuss the movie.
So definitely a weird movie. Crazy effed up a little bit in some parts of it. I kind of feel sorry for the guy. Like, I feel like this is like a midlife crisis kind of movie where he like decides that his life is not going where he wants it. And so he decides to be uber creepy and start hitting on his daughter's friends. But I somewhat feel bad for him. Like, there's like an undoing with him. And I enjoyed the movie, but I also feel bad for saying I enjoyed the movie because it's slightly disturbing.
Do you think it's anything outside of what real life kind of
is? Oh, no, I think it totally could happen. I think some of it's very realistic. Now, at the end, when you get to, spoiler alert, he gets dead, gets shot in the head.
Well, why
but
isn't
I think,
that realistic?
I mean, it is. I'm sure there's places that happens.
Every
but, I mean,
day.
Yeah, I mean, it does. But I'm just saying all of the relationships are very normal, air quote that.
Right.
Everyday relationships. I mean, they're you could see people having relationships that are like those.
Okay. So this is not just a like cult classic where people like it didn't do very well and
not a lot of people, controversy around the movie. Lots
besides the controversy. Yeah. I don't even care about the controversy. I'm saying this movie was actually a very good movie because it won like 5 Oscars.
Oh really?
It won Golden Globes. It won everywhere. And it won everywhere because it dealt with all the things in a very, I think because it dealt
it
with.
It is realistic.
It's very realistic. And not only that, I mean, it's fucking well done.
Yeah.
And the acting, of course, is good. I know people's got their shit with Kevin Spacey. That's fine. But he's still a good actor. I mean,
no, I thought he was great.
Yeah. He did a great job in the movie. All the cast in this movie did well.
It was very believable.
No, yeah.
Like, nowhere did you ever think that those people weren't experiencing what they were experiencing.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, and okay, so it's outside the realm of, like, you know, what maybe most people think normal everyday life is, but I think it's very normal in everyday for the midlife crisis is the crush on the teenagers. I mean, we see it all the time. The wife who doesn't want her husband.
She wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not
it's,
a thing.
It's crazy. The bad parent relationships. I mean, it's got everything. But for us, we picked this movie to be one of our movies in our
University of Rochester study.
That's right.
Pick. Yeah, so we are going to run through the questions and kind of look at the relationships.
We're going to look at one relationship.
Romantic relationships.
We're only going to look at one relationship this week, not like Couples Retreat where we try to juggle 5.
Yeah, but we do got to talk about the relationship with, not that there's a relationship, but the relationship between, are we just doing the husband and wife?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Because so that's all we need to.
Okay.
There's no other relationship that really, the husband-wife relationship is the.
The catalyst for the whole movie.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially.
It is what the movie is made around. I mean, if you think about it, like you think, you know, of course you can think about, well, there's the daughter that has to play in, but. Yeah, that's great because you got to have other things in a movie than just focusing on one thing. So mm-hmm. you have more storylines to carry the movie's story further. But everything, the point plot of the movie is about Lester.
Yeah.
Lester is the key figure. We call him the protagonist in this feature. And then the antagonist would be his wife, or you can switch them. But I believe the protagonist is the one who is the story is mainly centered around. That's him. And then. Second mm-hmm. would be her. Simple, suburban, I say middle class.
Yeah, I think she family. Thinks, yeah. I think half the problem, though, I mean, honestly, from the relationship part of it, the main problem, if you want to talk about that, as far as the couple is concerned, I think she thinks she's better than him. And I think that she puts up with him.
Yeah, She has a drive and determination to be in this status,
mm-hmm.
in affluence yeah. that she's not in. Mm-hmm. And I think she blames him for
that. Mm-hmm.
Because he's not reaching for that. There's a scene in a movie later in the movie where, you know, they've gone through all this, they've argued this, blah, 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 this,
scene?
No.
Oh.
And she had come home and he kind of starts.
Oh,
he's got the remote control car and he runs into her and she gets all pissy and stuff. But, You know, and then he starts like, where is this woman that I married, blah, blah, this,
yeah,
that.
He starts flirting with her.
And then they start getting into it, and she's all liking it, and he's kissing her neck. And then she looks over, and his beer is about to spill on the couch. She goes, you're going to spill the beer on the couch? And he's like, it's just stuff. It's just a couch. She's like, it's a $4,000 couch.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see the dynamic difference between the two, where he sees it as just a piece of furniture,
yeah, he fell
a couch.
In love with a girl who would have been willing to make the couch messy. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what it is.
But she's come to the place where that $4,000 is more important than the relationship. Things, so the stuff has overcome the relationship.
Yeah.
And you see that dynamic consistently throughout. So,
Because when he quits his job at the dinner table, that's the one I was getting ready to say. You know, she literally was like, oh, great. Well, then I'll just continue to be the breadwinner. Like, she already was like throwing it back at his ass. Of course, then he kind of shut her up when he yelled at them both to stop talking and threw the plate, which I was like, good for you, Lester.
Yeah.
You go, Lester.
So, we're looking at the main relationship in the movie. This is question number one in the study. And that main relationship is the husband and wife that is.
What the hell is her name?
What the hell is... I'm like, she's so forgettable.
We know Lester because you're kind of secretly kind of rooting for him. I mean,
it's Carolyn.
Carolyn. Yeah.
Yeah. So Carolyn and Lester.
I'm like, what the hell's her name?
Burnham,
yes.
Burn them all.
I mean, homeboy's working at a drive-thru. I mean, that's how, like he doesn't give a shit. Like, you know what I mean? Not doesn't give a shit. He's just over the bullshit. Yeah. I think is really what it comes down to.
Not true. I agree.
He's over her. He's over that lifestyle. He's over not being happy, and she wants nothing more but more, 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 more.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's...
Things mean that she's worth something.
Yeah. Well, and you know, people will tie their self-worth to their...
Yeah.
Assets.
Yeah.
So, that is the main relationship that's portrayed in a movie, we believe. This is what we'll follow to follow our questions. And the second question is, what main problems did these couples face? They faced a lot of problems, but I think their main couple is their lack of compatibility at this level. Like, they're on two different wavelengths.
They've grown apart.
Yeah.
Like, they may have started out in the relationship, loving each other and having the same path as each other, but then at some point, their paths have gone in different directions.
I mean, there's multiple problems. Let's just
there is multiple problems, but there, I think most of that stems from their incompatibility or their lack of connecting with each other.
I think there's a lot they don't, obviously they're not having sex.
No, she's more concerned about her couch.
And
She's having the affair with the other dude. But you know why she has an affair with him though? Because she sees money, she sees power, she sees all the things that she wants, and Lester's just like some guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite part in the whole thing was when they're at that convention and he kisses her in front of the guy, like he really lays one on her. He's like, we have a great relationship. Like, I thought that was so sarcastic. And then he just walks away like, bye.
Yeah.
And she's almost apologetic. Like, she's embarrassed by him.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think even though there's an extreme level of disconnect between these two people in this movie, I think a lot of people at lower levels of
extremeness, you have disdain. Yeah, yeah.
See these problems. Like, we don't have that. Again,
no.
We're a fairly new couple. We're newly married, so we, of course, again, if you've listened to the show enough, we're kind of in a different place in life where we're not looking at things like this to happen.
But I've had friends who have been in relationships like that where they're like, their spouse, they're embarrassed by them. Like, they don't want to be around them or near them. You know what I mean? It's almost like they're beneath them. They're better than their spouse. And I feel like Carolyn's like that with Lester.
Yeah. Like, oh,
he's
just
a doof.
I got to bring him or her because, you know, they're my spouse. So
yeah, she would have been fine at that convention. I mean, she's like prepping him up the whole time they're at that convention. Yep. Like, please don't embarrass me.
Mm-hmm.
Please do this.
Yep.
Can you just act like this? Like, she's like prepping him up and he's just like, whatever.
Yeah, so it's, like I said, they have multiple problems.
Mm-hmm.
Us as a couple, we don't really face these problems.
No.
We've kind of worked through the... We've worked through the communication of not to have those problems.
Yeah.
You know? So, the next question would be, did the couple strive to understand each other? Well, we're just going to flat out and say no. There was no...
Absolutely striving. Not.
I think there was times where, as the movie moved on, he was wanting to figure her out to kind of...
Yeah, like when you're talking about the couch scene.
Yeah.
I think he was trying to, like... emotionally generate something for her.
Yeah.
Like some connection in there. Like, do you remember how it used to be? Do you remember, like, he was creating this nostalgia around their relationship and how it used to be to see if he could tap into any of that and kind of bring her back to their level.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
No, because
it worked for like a brief second. You could see a glimmer and then it was like, wah.
Yeah. It was always an attack to both of them.
Absolutely.
Like, even where I think at times he was trying to make his point. Like at the dinner table about quitting his job. And, you know, there was times he was just saying things about, you know, not living for these things that are, let's just say, material things or whatever. You know, he's like, just, I want to live life and be happy. And she just can't accept that. She's always attacking him at that level.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, even if you have the best intentions of communicating, it still takes two people to do it. It still takes...
You have to bridge the gap, and neither one of them are at that point.
Well, and even though where he was, that's what I'm saying, there was moments where it was like, if I could just get her to change or get her to be different, then, and I think that's why, you know, of course, over-fantasizing the infatuation he has with Mina Suvari in this movie is kind of like the tale, of course, you know, the midlife crisis. But not only that, but just that, she kind of shows him attention because she's trying to be something she's not as well.
Yeah.
So with her doing what she's doing, he's like, oh, I'm getting attention. And not only that, she's hot, but she's young too. So hell yeah. Mm-hmm. And he starts, and he hears things. So he starts changing everything. He's like, man, I'm smoking
working
weed.
Out. Remember that?
I'm working out. I mean, like, he's killing it. Like, he's becoming a better person for very bad reasons.
Yeah, completely. You're right.
But it affects his, it does tend to affect the relationship he's having with his wife, because, you know, well, if I'm not going to see anything from her,
I'm going to look elsewhere.
I might as well.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, there's a lot of dynamics in this movie. We're not going to cover it all, but just focusing on their relationship, you can see it consistently through the movie where it's like, come on, you're late. I mean, like, the beginning of the movie is like, you're making me late, and his briefcase falls open everywhere, and she's, like, pissed off at him. And then he's in the back seat sleeping. I swear to God, I drive.
I was going to say, firstly, the main problem is she's driving. Like, not that I'm, like, a sexist thing, but, like, that's a man's job. Like, that...
Don't say that.
But in that situation, that's telling the kind of relationship they have. Like, it's very... It seems like such an inconsequential, whatever that word is, thing, but there's a main reason why she's driving. Like, from the very get-go, you realize that she thinks that she's better than him.
Yeah, and he's in the back seat. Now, I mean, I don't mind not driving.
You don't like when I drive.
Okay, so this is not a man or a woman thing for me. It's not a sexist thing. It's a driving thing. I drive. I don't care if it's a man, woman, child, dog, cat, alien, I'm driving. Oh. I'm driving. UFO, I'm driving. It's me. I haven't driven before. I'll figure it out.
I'll take the call on that one. I'll take the slack for it. I think a man should drive.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's weird because I've had this conversation on another podcast a long time ago, and I got so much shit about it. Like, you know, well, my mom drives my dad. My dad's no less masculine. I was like, I get that.
It has nothing to do with masculinity. Yeah. I just think it's a man thing. Like, men should drive.
Yeah. Well, and but I think there's also...
it's fine if you drive if you're a woman, but a man should drive.
I'll say this.
For myself.
Whoever the better driver is should drive.
I'm a good driver.
You're not better than me.
Oh, my God. That was cruel.
I'm just saying I'm a better driver.
I don't think so.
I do think so.
Oh.
Put us in two cars. Give us all the tests. I'll beat you every time.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I think you think you're better than I am.
Oh, I am? Not at driving, I am.
No.
Not everything, but I know at driving. You better runner than I am.
I might be a better driver than you, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Point of contention to be tabled.
No, I think I am.
You could think.
I know I am.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Put us on the track, see who goes better?
It's not about being faster. It's about being safer.
No, it's about being everything.
Well, I could drive way faster than you.
Not in the same car.
My car.
Not in the same car.
Same car?
Yeah, same car.
That's a fear thing. That has nothing to do with being a better driver. That has nothing to do with driving.
I have no fear. I'm a better driver.
That has nothing to do with driving.
I'm a better driver.
Driving skills. It has nothing to
do with
that.
Oh, and I got the skills.
No.
I can drive anywhere, in anything,
I can
over
too.
Anything. Nothing scares me.
I'm not a scared driver.
No, not on a regular road.
I'm not scared anywhere.
Put you in.
You won't even let me drive, so firstly.
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on a second. It's a man's job to drive, so who drives?
It isn't, because I don't want to argue with you. I tried to drive the entire time. Last time we drove from Texas.
Back home.
Your ass would not let me drive. I asked you at least 12 times.
It was not about not letting you drive.
No, let me drive.
I just drove. I'm good. And then when I wasn't good, what did I say?
The last hour.
But what did I say when I'm not good?
You drive.
That's right.
Yeah, the last hour of a 21-hour drive home.
I understand that, but it's not about not letting you drive. It's just about I'm driving when I'm good. And then when I'm not good, somebody else will drive. It's just like when me and Lee went across the country together. I drove the majority of that time. Why? It's not because I didn't want him to drive, because he's a good driver. He's driven my car by himself. I mean, I'm fine with that. But when I'm in a car and I don't have to be in the passenger seat because I need to sleep,
Is it a control thing? No, I'm interested in this.
No, it's not a control thing. It has nothing to do with control. It's just that I'm more comfortable driving. I'm not comfortable in the passenger seat, especially in my car. I hate being in the passenger seat of my car because it doesn't fit my ass. It feels awkward. And I can't stand feeling awkward when I'm sitting down or in a space for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So it's not my place, especially in my own car. So it's like, if I'm sleeping, I'm not aware of it. Like, I'm not conscious to the things that are around me. But then when I'm awake, I'm like, whoa.
I need to drive.
I got
to
get back in my seat. It's not about control. It's not about anything else, because I just need be comfortable. Yeah. It's just like when I come home.
So does that mean I'm not driving on this next trip?
No, you'll drive. When
I'm sleeping.
When you're needed to. But you don't have to. Because
we're breaking it up this time.
I mean, whether we break it up or not, I mean, my thing is if I'm not good, somebody else drive. If I'm good, I can drive. It's nothing more than that.
Okay.
I'm still a better driver.
No, you're not. There's no way to even test that.
There is.
How?
We can go to like a safe driving school and both do things.
I'm not a safe driving school.
Yeah. Where you would.
Okay, we'll sign up.
Okay,
I'll do it.
Cool. Yeah.
Fine.
I got her riled
up. As long as
up.
I get to drive my car.
It's not about car. You got to drive the same car.
I don't want to drive your car.
It's not about driving your car or my car. You got to be able to get into any vehicle and drive it.
Well, I can get into any car.
Any vehicle and drive it.
Yeah.
Let's go drive 18-wheelers. That'd be fun.
That has nothing to do with this. It's a car driving. It's not 18-wheeler. That does not qualify you to be a good driver because you drive an 18-wheeler. No.
I think the best drivers are people who can drive big rigs.
Well, I'm not driving a big rig.
I'm just saying. Anyways.
So this movie is about us. Apparently. No. The driving relationship is what it is.
No. No. This movie's not about us.
I'm a better driver, though. It's fine.
You can keep thinking that.
I've been driving longer.
No, you haven't.
No, I really haven't. That's a lie. Because I know you've been driving since like you were 9.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Okay. It's okay. You can be the better driver. I'm still going to drive.
Okay. How about I'm the better female driver in our household?
You're the best female driver in our household.
Okay, I'll take that one. The only one.
Stupid.
But damn, I'm good.
No, you're a great driver. I will give you that. But you're a better passenger. You know why? Because you don't get scared when I drive.
No, you don't scare me because you drive like I drive.
Yeah. So...
You don't scare me at all. And I don't ever feel like I don't think I've ever faked braked ever in your car because you see everything that I see.
Yeah.
There are some people that don't.
Truth.
It's frightful.
Yeah. So it also asked.
We digressed.
It asked, in what way was this relationship similar to different from your own relationship in this area?
Driving.
Yeah.
That was the only similarity in the whole movie.
That's not a similarity.
Was driving.
We just picked up that because of her control nature. She was driving the vehicle, telling him to come on because she needed control everything.
Yeah, and I really think that she just thinks she's beneath him. Like, to stick your husband in the back seat and your daughter sitting in the front seat with you?
But I think that's just how the family dynamic is.
So the daughter's even above him, too? If you're looking at a hierarchy of family members.
You could look at it like that, or you could look at it like he just don't care and he just get in the back seat because he doesn't want to be up there.
He could sleep. He was
passed out.
He was.
But anyways, Next question we talk about, did the couple have a strong friendship with each other? That is a hell no.
No, they lost that too.
Were they able to support each other through bad moods, stressful days, and hard times? Did they listen to each other like good friends? Did the couple in the movie do considerate or affectionate things for each other? No. This couple is far as from a couple that needs to be together, then you can get apart.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. They're so far gone.
They might as well be divorced.
100%.
Why they aren't, I have no idea.
Yeah, I wonder why. That is interesting, though. Yep. That does pose a question, though. Like, why stay together? If you're both that miserable, and she's clearly disdains him, mm-hmm. she doesn't like him at all, then why stay together? What's the point?
I think it's more him and then her.
There's got to be something in him that she finds somewhat appealing to keep.
No, because I think, to me, honestly,
she seems like she would replace anything that wasn't
of value.
I
think it's more of
comfortableness,
being seen as not being divorced. But when she mentions divorce, he goes, "What have I done wrong? I've done anything wrong. I haven't cheated on him, blah, 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 blah." So he's like, so he's not wanting to get divorced, but even though she might think she is.
It's such a sad life, though, to be like that.
Some people are like that.
It's terrible.
This is not similar to us. It's very different from our relationship. In what way is it? Because we don't want to be divorced. We have a perfect, I mean, even though I'm the better driver and she can't accept that, but it's still at the same time, it's because we can laugh at the things like that and we don't take it seriously. We don't attack each other for.
No, I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. I think it's super hilarious.
I think it's the most ridiculous non-argument we've ever had, but it brings me entertainment.
Yeah, it really
does. I love that we can banter back and forth with each other like that and clearly not take it seriously.
Yeah, because it's not serious. I mean, it has no bearing on the relationship because I'm still going to drive and she's going to...
Everybody's like, damn, they're having a fight on air. No, we're really not. Like, that's the funny part is that's not even an argument. That's just us bantering.
Truth. So...
we're going to play Mario Kart. That's how we can figure it out. I just realized
Gran
that.
Turismo.
Oh. Is that the one that you play?
Yeah.
That you have to, like, go through all those levels to try to
get... We can actually set up a real driving simulator.
Really?
Like, with steering wheels and pedals and everything.
But I have to be good at the
controller. No, we can set up a steering wheel, gear shift, pedals, and everything. I mean, they have simulator setups for that game. It'd be like a legit car you're driving.
I mean, I will give you, in the times that we have... To go back to this, the times that we have gone to our little place when before COVID. Mm-hmm. What's that place called over there? The video
box
game.
Car.
Yeah, box car. It's an indoor, what you call it? Arcade place. Mm-hmm. And we've played at Dave and Buster's before, too. You do beat me in the game as a better driver. I'm usually in the grass.
Yeah, you're usually all over the place.
Or in the wall.
But again, that one, those games are a little
loose. They're a little loose. They're a little loose.
A little loose. Oh, my God. Listen, what excuse are you going to come up with now?
The series a little loose, babe. Little loose.
But when it comes to Lester and Carolyn Burnham, they just not getting along. There's no friendship there. There's nothing there. We have a great friend. We have a pretty good friendship. We're pretty friendly with each other on almost that. You could even say we're best friends.
I would use best after our show and go listen to the podcast because I fucking hate when people say I married my best friend. However, after many conversations with people and listening to the show back, I think that it's important to have a strong friendship with your spouse
there
or
you
partner.
Go.
Yeah. So I would agree. You and I have a very strong friendship with each other.
We do. So we're going to look at the next question is how did the couple handle arguments or differences of opinion?
He threw plates.
She yells a lot. Were they able to open up and tell each other how they really felt, or did they tend just to snap at each other with anger? So
100%.
Again, this is one of those split dynamics.
Yes.
Where he was trying to open up and say those things, she would yell at him and say how stupid or crazy he was, and then that pushes him to the point to throw plates against the wall because you need to shut the fuck up and listen to what I'm saying because I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to tell you about me, and all you keep doing is putting me down and yelling because that was the dynamic that you got. She didn't give a shit. He wanted to make things better as a quality of life thing.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
That's how I felt.
Yes.
Even though he was doing some things that was really fucking weird. But that's how they didn't argue in a way that was conducive for.
No, it's not productive. There was no the argument didn't lead to discussion. The argument didn't lead to closure. The argument didn't lead to. It was just blowing up at each other constantly.
And did they try to use humor to keep things from getting nasty? I think he did that a few times where he would just make light of
it. Yeah, he'd be very sarcastic.
Did it feel like they were trying to understand each other? Ooh. Again, if you've seen this movie, you know good and well they weren't trying to do anything of that nature. Again, it's very different from my relationship.
Yeah, and I do feel bad for him. I mean, I'll just go back to that couch scene. Like, I feel like that was a pivotal part where they could have tried to go in the same direction. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if she, because you see the glimmer for just a second, you have this, like, kind of a hope as a viewer of the movie that she's going to come to her senses. Like, you feel like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, maybe this one time he will get through to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this minute. You see the look on her face, and then it's gone. It's like she just can't break that barrier of herself, or can't break down what she's built up so much of herself to be able to make herself even vulnerable to letting her guard down.
Yeah, and I think,
you know what I mean? Do you remember, like, there is that moment where you're just like, oh, here it is. Like, she's going to turn herself around, and it's like it's a glimmer. Goes away.
And then so you see,
and then
he's
like, fuck it. Like, then it's like on, you know what I mean?
Well, and then but then what you see is this whole movie throws all these pivotal things in the movie. You got the daughter dad relationship, the daughter mother relationship, the daughter, you know, gets the boyfriend, which that relationship is weird, but it's not weird. It's pretty normal. You have the best friend who's pretending to be a slut, but she's really not.
Yeah, that kind of threw me. I was surprised by that.
Well, I mean,
I wasn't expecting that.
When you find out and you go back and watch it for the second or third time, you start picking up on the clues, like, oh, now I see, because she's doing everything to be that, but she's really not.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
She's jealous of the friend.
Right. So
that's why she's putting her down.
Yeah. So what happens is you see all these things, and then at the end of the movie, of course, you know, we have spoilers. To kind of sum up how this relationship, you know, works out or not works out. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. So this final scene of the movie, you know, the whole movie he's talking about his death, and it's coming to his death.
Yeah, it's from the beginning.
Right.
You know he's going
to
die.
You see the daughter talking to the boyfriend about killing the dad. Of course, she's just joking. The wife, Carolyn, is at the shooting range, you know, just like, getting good at firing off the weapon. And on her way home, she's listening to some audio tapes, and she's just like, I'm going to go home and make this what I wanted to make it. And she's, you know, you see this whole thing, and it
there's a hell of a setup.
Yeah, there's a nice setup for that. And of course, you've already had the scene where the next door neighbor, Marine Dad, who beaten his son up for thinking he's gay, comes over and wants to.
Hard to watch.
Yeah, wants to come over and act on that because he thinks Spacey's gay, but he's really not. You have all these things building up, and then there's this moment of clarity for Lester where he's looking at the picture of his wife and him and the daughter, and he's kind of getting that, like, you know what, this is what it's really about. You know, this, I need to bring it, like, you
it's
get
like
this
he's
feeling,
almost like, I'm gonna keep trying, right. Like, keep pushing, keep persevering.
Right. I'm going after this. And then, you know, you're starting to see all the different, like, people, and then you hear the gunshot and the blood splatter against the wall. You don't see the person shoot him. You don't see anything other than that, then, of course, you know,
each
the next
team plays.
Yeah. So
how they all hear it.
Yeah. And of course, what you find out, it's not the wife, which everybody's kind of thinking it's the wife. And you see her just, like, lose her shit. She's in the closet crying, grabbing his clothes, because at that moment, she gets it too.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. Everything's done. And it's gone. You know, what? Maybe what she really loved was him, but she was so caught up in everything else. I mean, so there's a complete dynamic that you're not going to find out what really goes down in their heads after he's dead.
Yeah.
You know, so there's so much. And the funny thing is that when you think about their relationship, how crazy it is. Like, I think, you know, a lot of people would think this is a really crazy movie for you to pick to work on your relationship with. But I think there's a few pivotal things or a few key things that can set a person or a couple up to make their relationship stronger from this movie. Not the fact that, you know, she's controlling and he's weak or this or that or the very major differences, but just if you look at just the end of the movie, how, like, you don't, and I always say this, and you see it in almost every movie, and you'll hear me say it a bunch, but most people don't know what they really have until it's gone. Most people won't fight.
That's a good song, too, by the way.
Yeah,
Don't know what it's like till it's gone.
Oh, anyways.
Some Cinderella for y'all.
Oh, God. Anyways, don't, we need, we'll cut that.
No, we're not. Leaving that bullshit.
So,
it's true, though. I mean, like, I think at that point she realizes that all the materialistic things will not bring back her husband.
Well, and also I think it's not just like at the death of things. I think it's also where people, like, I remember, you know, like when you get that first note of separation, it's like, holy shit, what do I got to do to fix things? Mm-hmm. You know, it's when people start realizing, oh God, it's about to be gone. It's something that I've had. I don't want it to fall away, or I don't want it to fail. You know, it's too late. Like mm-hmm. most people don't start putting in effort till it's too late. Most people don't realize what's going on until it's too late. Most people don't realize the person they have in their other partner until it's too late. It's too late.
Yeah, and you're not paying attention to all the conversations leading up until the end.
It's not just about when it's gone. You don't know what you got.
Leading up to it.
You don't know what you got when you got it, and then it's gone. Or then you find out it's going to be going away. And it might be too late to make those things fixed. Now, of course,
you think that's some of her regret?
I don't know. It's hard, like I said, not to read into it to figure out.
Yeah, you get nothing. I mean, like literally, you don't get any like.
But that's what I think. That's closure. Why the movie does what it looked. Mm-hmm. What it does is because
you don't know what her sadness is for.
It gives you that. It gives you that ability to go. Let me interpret this how I want to. Well, mm-hmm. For me, I look and she's crying. She's sobbing. She's grabbing onto his clothes. She's, you know. To me, it's like there was this moment where she knew. That
it's gone.
Yeah.
That he's gone. And that she, whether she wanted to fix anything or not, she can't.
Yeah.
I don't even know so much that she wanted to fix anything with him. It's just that he's not there.
Yeah.
It's almost like in my mind, too, I think of it as, you know, that they may not have loved each other or been in love with each other. But even though they were at odds with each other and arguing with her, I think in her mind it could have been like, well, at least he's still here. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Like it's like this dysfunctional as a relationship was, it was functionally dysfunctional for her. Not for him, I don't think it was.
I'm going to go out on a limb and go a different route.
Okay.
Like her sadness was that she was going to finally put closure to him when she came in. Not that she was going to kill him, but she had made up her mind what she was going to say. Like mm-hmm. she was going to make... Like, whether it was leaving him or putting him in his place or whatever that talk was going to be, whether they would have worked it out or not, she lost the control in that situation when he was dead. She was, she could have been, I mean, again,
I could see that.
Grieving the loss of your husband, even though you're estranged from him, still hurts. But at the same time, it might have been something to the fact that she wouldn't get to do what she needed to do. Like, now it's going to be left unsettled also, forever.
Just thinking about too. When she goes through the drive-through, and she's with the other guy.
Yeah.
And he sees him, so she's busted.
Yeah.
Essentially. But when she's crying in the car, when they're sitting in the parking lot after they've been busted, and they're like, he's going into his car, and she's like driving off, because that's when it's right before all this happens. Do you think she's sad that she got found out, or do you think she's sad? Because I'm thinking, wondering how this plays into what her thought was to do next. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She starts listening to the tape. You're whatever it was. Like, she's building herself up.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering how that all translates into what she potentially was going to say or do.
Again, I think...
Do you know what I mean?
Based on her character...
Is she upset that she can't be with him? Or is she upset that she got busted?
Based on her character by the movie, not... Like I said, I'm not going to try to read into that maybe she had a change of heart.
That's
at each turn,
wondering.
It's like losing control. Like... I got busted, so now he can divorce me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shit. Like, she's trying
so
to hide it.
So it's having the upper hand
in
every situation.
Could be. But, again, it's a different...
Because why be upset? Like, why was she not angry? Why was she upset?
Why even be angry? Like, yeah, I'm cheating on you. Like, why am I trying to hide
That's what I'm saying. She's always been that way.
Yeah.
But in that one sign, you see a weakness in her. Like,
yep.
She lost the upper hand, maybe. I don't know. It's just interesting how that one scene... kind of just was thrown in there.
Well, the way
you don't ever
it,
see her break
know.
Apart. You know what I mean? She's always like the one in control. She's angry, but she's always the one in control. She's not emotional about it. But in that one scene, she's emotional. You see her crying in the car, listening to the self-help thing.
Yep.
It's interesting.
It's an interesting movie. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's called American Beauty. It's made in 1999. It's won a lot of awards. It's got a big build cast in it. It's definitely a dark movie.
Yeah.
To say the least. But at the same time, it's worth the watch if you haven't seen it. If you've seen it once, you probably don't need to go see it again because it'll last you.
Yeah. It is a relatable movie, though, with relationships, though.
Yeah, there's enough stuff. There's enough stuff to pick out. We could pick this movie apart from top to bottom and add more things to it. But we're not going to do that because we're focusing on this. So think about how, like, if you get a chance to watch this movie with your significant other, do it. And then discuss the movie like we did and see if it will open up things. And you might find out who the better driver in your relationship
is. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Me.
In your dreams. And you know why I know I'm the better driver even in your dreams?
Why?
Because you don't sleep long enough to have dreams.
Oh, my God. That's true. Oh, it's unfortunately true.
Anyways, if you know you're the better driver, reach me out on Instagram. Say, I agree with you, bro.
You can save money on Geico insurance. That's what it sounded like you're getting ready to do.
I would never pitch Geico.
Oh.
Geico sucks.
That's what I have.
That's the problem. That's why you're a
worse
driver.
Well, I've been waiting to be. No. That is a you thing, sir. Good day.
Anyways, thanks, Gavin girls, for checking out the show. Hope you liked our talk about American Beauty. And as always, drive fast, drive well, drive aggressive, drive defensive, drive like Keith, because he's the better driver, and live your life loud and bold.
Mediocrity is not an option, which is why I'm the better driver, and it shouldn't be for you because it's not for us. I did that backwards, but whatever, you get the point.
She can't. How can she be the better driver when she can't even get the tagline out? Peace!
Stupid.